gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's third quarter 2023 results conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. We would like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on the beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on currently available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations, and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and U.S. SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Truffolo, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks, and welcome everyone to this conference call for the results of the third quarter of 2023. We will start, as usual, with a snapshot of the results. In page 3, you can see that our revenues went up to almost $1.6 billion. That is 13% increase over last quarter. Our net income was a loss of $173 million compared to a loss, a small loss in the second quarter. Our adjusted EBITDA went to $243 million, 7.1% increase. Our last 12 months adjusted EBITDA was $1,045,000,000, and that is 23% decrease over the last 12 months as of June. Our net debt to EBITDA, our leverage, increased to 6 times at the end of September. And in terms of production, our production increased 283,000 tons, that is 35% compared to the second quarter of 2023. Now going to income statement and EBITDA in page 5. We can see in the graph the evolution of our EBITDA in the last 3 years. We increased our EBITDA compared to second quarter, but still we are much less than we had in 2022 and, of course, 2021 for the reasons that we have explained many times in terms of better margins and prices because of the pandemic. In terms of the breakdown of the EBITDA of this third quarter, pulp went up to $144 million, with products $133 million, and then adjustments another minus 33. The main reasons for the increase between the second quarter and the third quarter are in an increase of $43 million in the pulp division because of better sales volume, and a decrease in the wood product division of 12.6% quarter over quarter. We will explain the details later on the presentation. In page 6, you can see the whole net income, the income statement, and you can see there are other lines as distribution cost, which went up because of higher volume, admitted expenses a little bit lower than the last quarter. Other expenses much higher because basically of some impairments of assets that we did this quarter. Financial income a little bit better, $33 million. Financial cost a little bit higher, basically explained by higher interest rates and a little bit more of indebtedness. Exchange rate differences was minus 44, and a big part of that was because of the devaluation of the currency in Argentina that cost an accounting adjustment over there. Income tax was positive in that terms, and the net income ended up to be $173 million. Moving on page 7, more details about the revenues. The pulp revenues increased almost $193 million, or 33%, and that is basically explained by a 43% increase in sales volume, which was again caused by an increase in pulp production that we will talk later on. We had a 7% decrease in average prices. Okay. Wood products revenues decreased by 6.7 million or 0.8% due to a 1.9% decrease in average prices. You can see there the distribution between wood products and pulp in terms of sales, 49% for pulp and 51% for wood products. In terms of cost of sales, we saw an increase in the cost of sales, but it's basically due to a higher volume of production and sales. You can see there that unitary sales cost of softwood, hardwood, and bleach went down, especially hardwood, 9%, because of higher production and better dilution of fixed cost. Moving to page 8, distribution cost went up 7%, and this is explained by higher sales volume in our pulp division. You can see there also the decrease between the third quarter and a year ago is also due to lower freight costs that were affected by the pandemic. In administrative expenses, a slight decrease, and is explained by decrease in computer services and property taxes, patents, and municipality rights, offset a little bit by an increase in insurance costs. If we move to page 9, other income, we saw a big decrease here, but it's explained by a one-time income that we got on the second quarter by the receipt of the insurance claim of $72 million associated with the Valdivia Mill fire at the dryer. And we received a $72 million cash payment on that quarter, and that was reflected in a net income in that quarter, and we didn't receive as much as in the third quarter. We received only $5 million, and that's why the decrease. In terms of other expenses, as I told you, we had a big increase, almost $107 million, and that is explained by two impairments, basically. One is the impairment of the Licancel mill that was stopped in August, definitely, and we took a charge of $75.3 million before tax in this quarter. And also the Orcones 2 sawmill that was shut down in the quarter, a smaller one, but $6 million more. So that explained a big part of that. Also in the second quarter, we had a gain of $22 million because of the recognition of the rest of the insurance claim that was provisioned. That's why the difference between one quarter and the other is about $100 million. Again, these other expenses are one-time charges and accounting charges. If we move to the business segment review and outlook, we start, as usual, with the pulp division. We can see in there in the graph of the index of prices that we have seen a better price environment, and the prices continue to increase, especially after the bottom of the cycle that we got in May, especially for hardwood. At that time, prices for China were about $425, and you can see that we have had increases month by month, especially in November, that we will talk later on, and that has helped increase margins and prices for hardwood, softwood, and bleach pulp. In the table on the left bottom, you can see the shipment volumes on the 8 months accumulated year over year, and we can see there a 2% increase from last year. And in that sense, most of the increase comes from shipment to China. You can see a 30% almost increase in volume. And this is explained basically by higher demand because of the prices that we saw during the first 8 months were very attractive for our clients. In terms of stocks, the stocks have declined to more normal levels, especially in BHKP, that we now are back to about 47 days of supply and 44 days for BSKP. Now, looking at the quarter in terms of EBITDA of page 12, the pulp division had a 43% increase from $100 million, which was very low because of prices and low volume, to $144 million. And that has a big reason in terms of volume, because you can see that the quarter-over-quarter price is also, on average, 10% less, but we had a 43% increase in volume of sales. Sorry, yes, 43% in volume of sales. You can see also below in the graph the volume of production, and you can see that MAPA is on the green side, is ramping up, and we saw a big increase, almost 50% in the production of MAPA in the quarter, to 92,000 tons increase compared to one quarter to the other, so 277,000 tons produced by MAPA during the quarter. The other mills also produced better than before, so that explains the increase in production of 34% quarter over quarter. So we reach almost 1.1 million tons of production in the quarter, and that it should continue to increase as MAPA continues its ramp up. In terms of market, the market improved through the quarter. Had a weak start at the beginning of the quarter, of course, but prices went up as inventories dropped in the quarter. Sorry. In China, we observe an increase in demand for pulp and paper, and also a better environment for the paper producers. So their mills increased their operating rates and started announcing price increases for the product, and that helped gain momentum for the prices that we were announced for pulp. In Europe, the situation was different. Demand for paper remained weak, small signs of recovery towards the end of the quarter. The dissolving market was stronger due to an improvement in the viscose market, and with low inventories and increasing the operating rates. And well, we already discussed about the production in Arauco, which is better. So better production, better sales volume, and increased margins as prices continue to go up. Now, in page 13, looking at more the recent time, and you can see, and I will start with the graph on the bottom to see the prices. And you can see there on the green line the hardwood price that in May was 475. We had continuous announcements of price increases with all the volume being sold, and we reached November with a price of 630. So that is a $50 increase in prices for softwood and hardwood in 1 month, and we've sold all the volume very, very early in the process. So now we are $130 more than we were at the bottom of the cycle. So the good news in terms of margin, both for softwood and hardwood, and also some increases for dissolving pulp. In terms of what we see for the coming month, I mean, we see some stability, even probably some price increases if things go well up to the Chinese New Year. We continue to see China as being the main driver for pulp market, not only for Asia, but also affecting Europe. At the current moment, the prices in China are higher than in Europe, so volume is going there, and they're putting pressure on the market also in Europe. And everyone is looking for what's going on in China in terms of what will follow in Europe and also in North America. On the other hand, export from China to Europe and North America have helped Chinese demand and put more pressure on some grades. Spot price in Middle East is active, and prices have experienced some price increases. But and in terms of the stoppage of the mill, you can see there in the second and third quarter of this year, we had some stops of mills, some of them planned, another because of the problems that we have in mills in the past. For example, Valdivia was stopped for 4 months because of the reconstruction of the dryer that luckily started in August. And also, Licancel, we had a two-week stop because of the rains that finally end up with the closing of the mill. So some unstopped production and some maintenance. In the fourth quarter, we're going to have a line two for 16 days, and we already had Puerto Esperanza with 16 days of stoppage. You can see there that in the first quarter of 2024, we have not too many stoppage, so we will have more volume going into the market and production. Arauco Line 3 is planned to stop for 11 days at the end of the quarter, mainly in March. And then in the second quarter, we'll have Constitucion and Montes de Plata. So much lower stoppage in the mill, so that will mean more production and more sales in a better price scenario. Now moving to wood products in page 14. Here you can see that EBITDA continues to decrease a little bit compared to last quarter. Of course, it's much lower than we saw a year ago because we had two extraordinary years in wood products in terms of EBITDA margins, and now we're more back to the normal base of the EBITDA for the wood product division. We have seen some adjustments in price and volume in wood products, also in panels, composite panels, 5% decrease in one quarter to the other, and some slight decrease in volume. We continue to adjust the production volume in our sawmills and panels in order to not to increase inventory and adjust to demand in the different markets. In page 15, you can see the volume of sales and production in terms of last quarter are basically stable, a little bit decrease of sales in panels, some timber, about 15,000 cubic meters less. A higher production, but less sales in some timber, and in plywood, a little bit better scenario in terms of production and normalized sales between sales and production. In page 16, in terms of outlook, and I'm talking about the North America, which represents almost 50% of the sales of Arauco. We have seen higher supply coming to the market, prices decreasing, so MDF is a little bit affected by demand and more supply. Some of the producers operating at 70% rate, but a little bit better in particle board, and prices continue to decrease a little bit. I mean, construction is of course affected in the United States and Canada because of higher rates, high mortgage rates, and you can see there that the housing starts have kind of stabilized in a 1.35 million houses a year, and we expect that as rates start to go down, especially long-term rates, we'll have a better environment for construction again. But as I said, for the wood product division, it's back to normal after 2 years of very, very good margins, and we continue to make adjustments in terms of cost efficiency in order to have good returns on the assets. More going to remanufactured wood products. It's also higher supply affecting the market. The prices are lower, but still very good in terms of historical levels. Not as good as last 2 years, but very good compared to the normal side of the EBITDA. In plywood, we expect the market to remain stable for the rest of the year. Page 17, now in South America, Central America, 33%. Brazil continues to be very competitive, the environment, because it's a chronic oversupply over there, and demand has been slower. Inflation in Brazil went down, and we expect at some point we'll have a more balanced situation there, but Brazil has always been more challenged in terms of competition. Chile is affected by the low construction activity, all the political uncertainties and some slow terms of permits have decreased construction activity, and that is affecting, of course, the demand for wood products in Chile. Argentina is improving for the rest of the year. Demand continues to be high, and basically because it's it's a place to put your pesos and try to convert it into dollars. So demand for our products continues to be high, and our margins are very good in Argentina. In Asia, markets remain slow with slight price increases and some demand improvement in some products, but continues to be some uncertainty regarding economic growth and the situation of China, especially. Move to the financial review, and now jumping to page 19, our liquidity, our cash was $657 million at the end of the quarter. We had an excess to be withdrawn or available in the committed facility of $150 million. That facility is a facility of $375, but we are using $225 million at this point. So our total liquidity is $807 million at this point. Page 20, the free cash flow. We had a better cash from operating activities of $271 million compared to $45 million. And the main explanation for this is a better EBITDA, but also a better management of working capital that went from negative 84 to positive 16. In terms of CapEx, if we go below the operating activities, we had $50 million less CapEx compared to last quarter. And the other big thing is in the financing activities that in the second quarter we had the payment of dividends, $280 million, and now we didn't have that. So that's why at the end of the quarter we had a free cash flow of negative 122 compared to negative 654 in the second quarter. So a more balanced free cash flow. Net debt continued to increase from 6.2 to $6.27 billion, but it's a much slighter increase, and we had a compensation of exchange rate and also some leasing variation, but the negative free cash flow was much lower in terms of $122 million. If we go to page 21, you can see the evolution of net debt and leverage. Of course, the leverage went up to a peak of 6 times, which is high, but it's basically explained by a decrease in last 12-month EBITDA, which was 23% lower than last quarter. So it went up to $1.05 billion, let's say, $45 billion, and more than the increase in net debt. So as long as the production continues to be improving and margins, we should start to improve last 12 month EBITDA and also generate some cash to start going down. So we expect that this is part of the cycle. I mean, we were in the worst part of the cycle in the second and third quarter in terms of not only price, but the ramping up on cost of MAPA. So now we are going to start harvesting the good results in terms of margins and production. Well, you see the numbers there of net debt and leverage. Looking into page 22 in our debt profile amortization, the big amortizations that we have next year are a bond that is due in August of $500 million, and then we have a debt that is in April of $200 million in North America. The numbers you see there in bank debt in 2023 is basically the pre-export financing that we have and some other amortizations, and also the debt we withdraw from the facility that is due in February 2025. And then we have a more normalized amortization schedule, and of course most of the debt, $2 billion, is due after 2036 because of the bonds that we have issued in long term in the local market. Now, moving to material facts and news, page 24. We already talked about it, but just to emphasize, we decided to shut down or stop operations indefinitely in the Licancel mill in August after two events of flooding that we had in the mill because of the heavy rains in the south. This is a small mill, 150,000 tons, and it wasn't very competitive for the size of the mill, so we were thinking of possibly in the next coming years closing the mills, but we decided to do it before because of the flooding that affected the mill and that needed investment that made it not feasible in terms of economics. So we had that, to make the decision, we had to let go 166 employees in that mill, and we took a charge, an accounting charge after tax of 55 million, so 35 before tax, 55 after tax, in the results of the third quarter. And the other news is the increase in production of line 3. Line 3, as we discussed, have been increasing and lowering cost. And up to September, we had 504,000 tons of production, of which 84% were prime pulp. So we expect to reach full capacity in the first quarter of 2024, and the plan is going as of schedule, as normal for this mill, to spend 9 months more or less in ramp up, and we have been able to reach the capacity in some days, not now a whole month, and we are getting rid of bottlenecks and problems as we continue to the ramp up, but it's a normal process that we are dealing with. Page 25. We announced a new photovoltaic plant that we are doing in Brazil as a pilot program station, and this is a 555 kilowatt peak in an area of about 1,700 square meters. So we reached a milestone energy matrix, 65% of energy consumed coming from burning of biomass, and more than 30% of renewable electricity purchase. So this is an achievement that demonstrates our commitment to reduce carbon footprint and reliance on non-renewable sources. On page 26, and finally, we are starting, the fire season in Chile again, 2023-24, and we have our plan already moving. We have for this season the resources that we normally do, and we have more than 120 professional land brigades, 16 high-performance hellborn professional brigades, 63 new professional forestry firefighting brigades. We are doing a night brigade to combat fire during the night with 264 professional members. We have for this season two big air crane helicopters and a Super Puma, together with the light helicopters, and we are putting a new mobile app designed to provide forestry brigades of the best route to fight fires, in order to find the routes to get to fire first and in a more efficient way during these emergencies. So all the resources we expect. That we hope that we don't have a season that we had last year. We have all the learning from the last season and all the strategies prepared for this, and we are of course coordinating with the local authorities, with the other forestry companies in the region, in order to have a very good season without any big fires in Chile. And finally, the takeaways, as you probably have seen in the numbers, it has been a very challenging period this year. We had to start our mill in the worst of times in terms of prices. Also, we had some operational problems in the other mills, so it was very low production, high cost, very low prices, so it was very difficult for us. We took the measures that we needed to do, reducing costs. We had to make an adjustment in our SG&A also in letting go people from supporting areas in October. And now we are prepared for the future in terms of the prices that we have seen, that you can see there. Current prices in BHKP and BSKP are $120 and $83, more than the average prices of the second quarter. terms of prices that we're selling in November. And additionally, pulp production already increased 35% to last quarter, and we expect to continue with good production quarters as we go along. Arauco Line 3 is producing as expected, with positive feedback from our clients, and expected to reach full capacity in the first quarter. So we look ahead for the future. We are, I think, with the worst is over, and we expect that we can increase our margins, EBITDA, and start reducing debt, net debt, and improving our leverage. Okay, that's what I have. And now I would like to open for questions. Our next conference call will be, there's a mistake over there in the presentation, should be end of February 2024.
Huh? Thank you.
Let's go for the Q&A.
Yes, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that you please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw yourself from queue, please press star then two. Questions will be taken in the order that they are received. And today's first question comes from Jens Spiess with Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello for taking my question. I just want to ask about the price negotiations into December. You were saying that you expect stability. So should we expect something closer to the 9:30? You have been able to allocate your volumes for November. And if I may ask just two more questions. The second one on MAPA, you were saying that you already reached capacity for a few days, but on average, how much was capacity utilization in the third quarter, and how much, for example, have you averaged quarter to date? And thirdly, on the firefighting season, how has El Niño impacted forest fires in Chile in previous occasions? If you could please comment on that. Thank you.
Okay, yeah. Thanks for your questions. Well, December negotiations hasn't started yet. I mean, normally are the final weeks of the previous month, so we'll say in like a week more. We are positive that the environment continues to be good. I don't know if we're going to be able to raise prices. I think at least we will have the good prices that we have in November, but that still has to be negotiated. I think the environment is good up to December, but we will go month by month, and we'll try to put all the volume. So I don't know anything yet, but I'm a little bit positive of what we can get there, but nothing negotiated or closed yet. The good news is that we always have some momentum in terms of pricing and invoicing. So these prices would assure that we will have probably a good first quarter in terms of prices, and then probably a good half of the year, first half of 2024 in terms of invoices prices. Okay. Now regarding MAPA production, yes, some days during the month we reach full capacity, but the ideal thing is to have full capacity every day. I mean, to have continuous capacity. And the good month of production, I remember in August, for example, we reached 100,000 tons in 1 month, and in some months we are able to produce 90,000, 85,000. So depends on how what are the problems that we find out, and if we can maintain a stability in the production. But I think that we will get there. I mean, the full capacity of a month should be 130,000 tons. So probably we are at 70%, 70%, and we will continue to go there until we probably in the first quarter of 2024 we will reach 130,000 every month. In terms of firefighting, El Niño has produced more rain during the winter here in Chile. That's what we have seen. So, and I don't remember the effects of El Niño in the summer season for other years. I always get confused by El Niño, La Niña, but right now, more rains. That's why we had this flooding in the river Mataquito that caused the Pelican mill to be shut down. Of course, yeah, but we don't know. We are prepared for tough conditions. I mean, last year we had tough conditions in terms of humidity, wind, and temperature, and we are prepared for that again. So we have the resources, the strategy to combat, to deal with conditions like that, and we will see how it manifests during the summer. But I personally don't remember summer conditions during the effect of El Niño. The spring has been more rainy, so probably it's more vegetation that has to be cleaned up, and that we have been doing. We have also increased the protection areas surrounding our mills in terms of putting 900 meters with low density of vegetation and preparing the fire breaks and everything to have a good season.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next question today comes from Herman Kislyuk with MetLife. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. And Chef Reco, as you said, the worst is behind, both in pulp prices and also from an operational perspective. So what we have ahead is a period of deleveraging. But my question is, how is this process going to look like? And also considering capital allocation for this period. So I understand that higher EBITDA will take net leverage down. But I'm also curious if you are planning to also reduce your level of gross debt, or are you going to accumulate cash, and what about dividends? And also the revolving credit facility that you have, withdraw some money from there, if you are planning to pay that back to have it fully available. So this is my question, capital allocation going forward and debt management.
Okay, thanks, Hernan. Yes, I mean, I think that first of all, dividends. I mean, the results of 2023 are very bad, so no dividends for regarding 2023 because we're going to have a negative income. So that helps cash. Also, tax results will be lower, probably negative, so that because of depreciation of MAP and also because of the low operating results. So that means very low taxes to be paid. CapEx is going down because we finalize MAPA, so 2024 should be a little bit lower. So everything will point to a free cash flow positive that will help reduce gross debt or net debt, let's say. And so our objective is not only rely on higher EBITDA, but also reduce debt. And we are going to be trying to do so to put the net debt to a more sustainable level that will be according to, we'll say, average EBITDA for the capacity that we have right now. In that sense, we're trying to make an effort in reducing debt, and that's why we're cutting costs, lowering CapEx, and the low dividends and low taxes will help us doing that. In terms of the gross debt versus net debt, I will say that we will always also will try to reduce gross debt. We have a liquidity policy that make us have a cash that will be good for the size of the company, and we will try to as soon as we can to replenish, let's say, the revolving credit facility by paying down what we withdraw. In that sense, we are preparing for refinancing probably at the beginning of next year on March. We have several alternatives for refinancing. We could go to the bank debt market. We have available lines. We can go to the local market in Chile. We can go to the international markets that at this point is open for a company like us, but the rates, the long-term rates, especially the treasury and the spreads are quite high. So we can get better, let's say, coupon by going to the local markets or waiting a little bit to see better conditions in the international market. So a lot of alternatives to get long-term debt and to pay down short-term debt. And we expect and we hope that we can reduce the net debt also by generating more cash and try to bring down CapEx and expenses, basically. This program of decreasing G&A that we did will help us also get more than $100 million in terms of reduced cost because of the lower amount of employees that we have, and also because we are making an effort in reviewing all the contracts, all the services, and making improvement projects to get that more than $100 million in reduction of the G&A that we were planning to do. Also, exchange rate is helping. I mean, we have a more depreciated exchange rate in Chile that help us lower our cost measured in dollars.
Got it. And I guess that the refinancing plan that you just mentioned also applies to the bond coming due in August, right?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the refinancing will be done for paying down the bond in August, and also to put more debt in the long term and lower the short term debt.
Got it. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you. And our next question today comes from Carlos Asuncao with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you, Gianfranco, for the presentation. I have two questions. The first one is still on leverage. Would it be fair to think that your leverage ratio has peaked in this quarter, or could we see some bit of increases still in the fourth quarter of this year? The second question is, how is MAPA contributing to your cash costs, and how much we can expect costs to improve, especially as MAPA finished the ramp up at the beginning of next year? Thank you very much.
Yes, regarding the leverage, yeah, I think that the peak should have been this third quarter, because I mean margins are better for second quarter, for the fourth quarter, and also because we're going to be receiving more cash inflows from the insurance companies. I mean, we are expecting, and we have received a part of that already in the beginning of the fourth quarter, about $170 million in quarter two. I mean, we're going to receive the $85 million of the forestry insurance, and also another about $70 million coming to because of the Valdivia claim. So extra cash coming from first time, also a better EBITDA because of the pricing, and that will help us decrease the leverage from September to December. And also, during 2004, we will see the big decrease in leverage because of higher volumes, better margins, lower SG&A, lower CapEx, and lower tax, and lower dividends. So the peak should have been this one. A decrease will be expected for December, a slight decrease, and then the big decrease will come for 2024, where I think we will reach more than normal levels that we have seen for our investment grade company. In terms of MAPA, as we discussed, MAPA is already about 70% capacity, so that means that we still some room for improving the cash cost. From the second quarter to the third quarter, the cash cost decreased more than 40% for MAPA. And we will have more decrease as we reach more production. And of course, MAPA is a big part of our capacity, and a big part of the short fiber capacity. So that will impact the average cash cost for the whole company. So I expect to that the new cost to continue to go down on an average for the company as MAPA continues to decrease their cash cost. Basically, the fixed costs are going to be diluted better with more production, and also as we get more stable production, the consumption of chemicals, oil, also decreases. So it helps variable cost, and it helps fixed cost. And also in forestry, we are getting better cost because now the production of MAPA is more stabilized, is growing, so economies of scale and better labor costs, better forestry costs are also improving from the forestry side.
Thank you, Gianfranco. Just a follow-up, you mentioned about the insurance inflow that you are expecting. Could you just repeat the amounts, just double check I got the right number, please?
Yes, I mean, we had a lot of, claims because of especially Valdivia, that was a big claim because it was a big loss of production, and also because of the forestry fires in the summer of 2023. So we have already received in terms of cash as of to September about $80 million, 80. Okay, but we still have to receive about $170 million more, 170 more of cash, and that will happen in the fourth quarter. The big part of those 170 is $85 million coming from the forestry insurance that we'll receive probably at the end of the year, and the other is the rest of the Valdivia Mill claim. That will be about $70 million, from which we already started seeing this month of November. So a big amount of cash coming into Arauco because of from the insurance companies in the fourth quarter, and for that we will compensate some production losses and that will happen that we saw in the results.
Perfect. And after the fourth quarter, you don't have any other insurance claim pending for next year, right?
No, nothing pending. Everything should be solved in this to December this year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And our next question today comes from Gabriela Bacchile with Pine Bridge Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Thank you. So thank you very much for the call and the presentation. And so I have two questions. My first question is regarding the decline in realized pulp prices in the third quarter. So I was, given the improvement and the price hikes in the overall market, I was under the impression that you would see better realized prices in the third quarter. So I was wondering if you could give us some color on what happened and why prices declined quarter over quarter, realized prices for both. And the second question is regarding your refinancing strategy. So I know that you already clarified on what you will do for the short-term debt in 2024. But regarding the more than $500 million due in 2023, so I see here in your presentation that you have $465 in bank loans or leasing in 2023, and then $82 million in bonds. So that debt, are you expecting to refinance it, to partially repay it? Could you give us some color, please? Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Regarding realized prices, I mean, the prices that we show on the graph are the prices for shipments during the month. So then you have to invoice it at the end of the month. And there's some rollover of the shipments. And so normally it lags a little bit. So the bad prices in May, June, you saw it probably been affecting 90 days after or 60 days after. So that's why I'm saying that probably we're going to see these good price environments for some time in the future, because it tends to lag a little bit the prices that we show as shipments, announced for shipment, and the realized prices in invoicing. That's the main reason for the lower Q3. And so we should have a better Q4, or probably a better Q1 in 2024, even if prices continue at the same level as they are now. In terms of refinancing, of course, this is a mix of paying down short-term debt and refinancing long-term debt. We will probably do both in terms of going to the market and issue bonds, long-term bonds, and new bank debt. So probably will be more than 500 that we will do in 2024 in the first semester. Of course, we're going to pay down the bond that is due in August. The debt that is due in April, we don't know yet if we're going to refinance with another debt, or we're going to pay it down with other debt or other bonds. It's a mix of things, and we have plenty of time. We have the open market in Chile, in North America. We're even considering other alternatives of issuing bonds in other markets. Remember that we took the opportunity this year to go to the local markets in Chile. We issued $500 million, and the rate we got was about 100 basis points lower than the rates that were at that time going to international markets. So we would try to optimize the margins and the rates, but we have plenty of options to manage the amortization that we have for next year.
Thank you. So just to clarify, for the $500 million due this year, you're planning to refinance most of it as well, right? Did I understand correctly?
No, I mean, we're going to pay an amortization that bond, but most probably we'll issue another bond before that. So,
Got it. Okay.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you. And as a reminder, please press star then one if you have a question. Our next question comes from Pedro Nunez with Banco Financia. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. So my first question is on CapEx. Just wanted to get a sense of the amount in the third quarter, how much of it is maintenance versus ramping up CapEx of MAPA project. And then my second question is to add on the previous question, and sorry, but it wasn't clear to me. So the loan that you had outstanding in 2023 as of September, when does this loan mature, and you plan to refinance via a bond or via an additional loan? Sorry, that wasn't clear from the previous question.
Well, I will start with the refinancing. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit confusing because the money is fungible and you can do both. But we have the committed facility that we have, 225, that is due in February 2025. So that is enough time. Then we have some short-term pre-export financing that are due every 90 days that we continue to refinance and pay down some of them. Then we have a $200 million loan that is due in April 2024. That loan most probably will be refinanced with the same group of banks or other group of banks. And then we have the amortization of $500 million that is due in August 2024. Okay, we most probably will go to the market next year, to the bond market. We don't know yet if in Chile, in the United States, or both in combination. And then we have the alternative of raising another bank loan, let's say a three-year, five-year bank loan to refinance also. So it will be a mix of bank loan and new bond issuance to pay down the $500 million. I don't know if it is clear or not, but I mean, and regarding CapEx, at the third quarter, we still had some small capex coming from MAPA. I will say that on average, you have to think of Arauco as a maintenance capex will be probably about 850 to 900 million. That is including the maintenance of, all the capex for all the mills and also the plantations. I mean, we are spending in planting, and also we are internalizing some labor costs. So right now we are doing more harvesting with our own teams, and that, of course, implies investing in machinery and harvesting equipment, and that, of course, impacts CapEx, but at the same time we'll be benefiting in having lower EBITDA because we're not paying the services for those subcontractors. So, and also we are planting in Brazil for a potential project in Sucuriú, that is called Sucuriú in Mato Grosso do Sul. So we are spending probably another $150 million in planting in Brazil. So if you add up all that, you will have probably $900 million in CapEx. But no growing projects at this point. Rather, the only one is the project in Mexico, the MDF mill that we're planning in Zitácuaro, that is a 200 $50 million more or less, but we are only starting. We have a commitment for the equipment, but we haven't started or assigned the construction yet. So, but I will, that investment will be spread in about 2 years, 2 to 3 years. So, no big capex for 2024. That's why I'm saying this, because it's going to be around maintenance capex, more or less.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to Gianfranco Truffolo for any closing remarks.
Okay, again, thanks for attending the call. Our next result will be published at the end of February 2024. And in the meantime, as you know, you can contact our investor relations team here to any following doubts. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This thus concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.